When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, the first time I saw you, it was down at the Greeks. There was whiskey on Sunday and tears on our cheeks. You sang me a song just as pure as the breeze on the road leading up to Lenavay. I sat for a while at the cross of Finnoo, where young lovers would meet when the flowers were in bloom. Are the men coming home from the fair in Shinrone, their hearts in Tipperary, wherever they roam? Take my hand and dry your tears, Shane. Take my hand, forget your fears, Shane. There's no pain, there's no more sorrow. They're all gone, gone in the years, Shane.
Welcome to Free State, everybody. I'm sitting here looking at Mr. Joe Brawley, who has decided to join us again despite being back in the big time, back on the Late Late Show, back in RTE. What happened when you walked into the building, Joe? Was there, did you see people scurrying? Did people run up and shake your hand?
The Tipperary and Offaly ladies teams, the first ever All-Ireland ladies champions from 1974, Tipperary and Offaly. And they were all in their 70s, late 70s. And do you remember the episode of Father Ted where Owen McGlove goes to Father Ted's and then all the old women in the country gather around the house like zombies and close in on the house and try to climb through the windows to hug Owen and touch Owen? That's what greeted me coming through. Like, bring him in here now, bring him in. And it was a swarm. And what I realized was that, you know, and they were having such fun. And the green room was buzzing. I've never seen the like of it. It was bouncing. And I thought to myself, you know, these ladies of that generation would never have been in a hen party, would never have been able to socialize together. You know, the way our younger women just take for granted nowadays, being able to socialise independently. Like, it was like a hen party for, you know, septuagenarians and octogenarians. It was insane, genuinely.
I would say they probably had great crack.
They had a bus driver with them who was just rolling her eyes at the antics. And, you know, that's what struck me, that They were doing something that our younger women nowadays would be entirely used to. But for them, this was wild. It was free drink. They were drinking big glasses of wine and cider. And the RT, one of the RT producers, you know, who was quite just so, you know, she was just like, what the fuck is going on here?
So I don't know about, like, I would say those women were pretty, because my mother was an awfully woman, you know, and she would, if she was alive, she'd be 70.
Yeah, but I mean,
she'd be 73, or she'd be 75 now, or more. God, she'd be, she died when she was 52. And she was of that generation. And her friends, her cousins, like, when she was out with the people she grew up with, and I see it now in my aunt, her sister, the absolute mischief was insanity. Like, there was just laughter when her and her cousins went out. It was just laughter from beginning till end. You know, there was nothing except mischief on their minds. And when I saw those women, they just reminded me of her, and they reminded me of all of her cousins and her sister. You know, that sense of joy and total, and maybe it gets even greater as you get older, because you just feel, you know, who gives a fuck?
I mean, that's how I thought, like, in their day, like, you would have met a fella at a dance. Well, there were very strict social conventions then for women. I mean, there were many, many rural pubs where a woman couldn't go for a drink, and certainly they wouldn't be going in groups. You know, they wouldn't be getting a bus, you know, to go on a hen. Or anything like that. And, you know, the whole sense of it was just total freedom of girls who were just absolutely thrilled to be out together, you know, after that length of time. And, you know, like, it was just an atmosphere of pure joy.
And then meeting Joe Brawley.
I think of Paddy Keelty, who is more than what we see on the television, a lot more than that. You know, Paddy was everywhere beforehand. I mean, I was chatting with Charles Burns in the corridor, our Uchtrin, and we were talking very animatedly. He was telling me about their four harsh truths in his school. You know, he's the principal of the biggest secondary school in the North. And we were talking about community. And, you know, Paddy came down and was just absorbed into the conversation. Nobody said, great. He was just absorbed into the conversation. And then, you know, wee James McCartan was there for me. The most important footballer from the Six Counties over the last sort of 30, 40 years. And again, just absorbed into the conversation. And that ease that GA people have with each other. I mean, a lot of the people who were there that night, I hadn't met them before. Well, Jamie Wall, who just had the most unbelievable, freakish bad fortune. Hurling for Cork 1 minute, and the next minute sepsis in the spine and paralysed from the waist down. And everybody there together as though we were all lifetime friends. And it emphasised to me, you know, the great importance of the GAA, that matchless sense of community that there is.
Well, you talk about Keelty.
He's better than anybody else, you know.
You talk about Keelty, and there's no denying his complete competence and how well he handles it, even from what you see on television. I did find myself thinking, God, I'd love to see Ryan Tubridy trying to negotiate this one. I'd love to see.
Well, that's right. You know, he really, it would be lost on him. You know, he wouldn't understand those bonds.
Well, he loves loud. He
loves loud. You know, it's his favourite Ulster county. And I was struck all week when I was thinking about the programme, because I was there for cystic fibrosis for the 65 Roses week that starts on Friday. And the reason that it's called 65 Roses is because that's how we teach the kids with this horrific condition to say it. It's difficult to say cystic fibrosis, but it's easy to say 65 Roses. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking about this extraordinary bond that we have. I think particularly so, more vitally so in the North. I mean, obviously, it's a great community bond all over the world, any GA person all over the world. And we talk about more about that. Do you know there's Paddy Keelty, his brother John's the chairman of the Dundrum Club, you know, presiding over Jack Keelty Park. Paddy's father, what happened to him during the week. I was chatting with John Finnick, you know, his father exactly the same. Goalkeeper for Antrim and for Lough Jarrig, you know, the Member of Parliament for North Belfast. You know, and then just a few weeks earlier, I think I mentioned this on the programme, you know, drinking pints with Kevin Strayhorn after Waddy Grahams had their magnificent All-Ireland club victory. And, you know, Kevin's father was murdered as well in an almost identical sort of loyalist murder to Paddy Keelty's father. You know, went to the house late at night and shouted up, you know, it was he had a shop, shouted up, you know, that they had a child that was teething, and could they get something for the child? And Waddy went down, they shot him dead in the doorstep. And Kevin, you know, one of the sort of leading architects in the country now. And these immensely strong bonds that we had, and I think that were cemented during the Troubles, you know, that gave us this sense of us, a sense of togetherness that's matchless.
Well, it's
pride that we have in each other, whether we know each other or not. You know, it's that idea of I know you and you know me, and that being the beginning of community, the beginning of empathy. And it, you know, it always strikes me, it's one reason why the GAA people are so empathetic, for example, about injustice, about grievance. You know, I mean, look at how the GAA community is gelled around the barbarity that's unfolding in Gaza. And it's that sense of community, which means, you know, I know what you're going through. I can feel what you're going through because I know people in my community who have suffered. And, you know, it's something that's matchless. And if you're part of it, you know, you're at ease with yourself wherever you are in the Irish world.
Well, it's an interesting thing because you say you're part of it. I think there is something about it that is kind of handed on, even to people who don't naturally feel part of it. Like those sort of values, like I know, you know, near me, you know, around where I live, you know, Coola being such a big club, and people who don't come from a GAA tradition, unlike myself, they do just get imbued with that sense of volunteerism, which is the greatest asset the GAA has, and the greatest, and I, you know, there's volunteers in every sporting organization, every sporting community, and I agree with you, like more and more as I get older, I agree with that sense of how important community is, whatever the community is. Just it's a really critical thing for people, and I don't think there are many things that are better, that you're better off trying to do alone. Solitude is a great thing. Being able to be on your own is a great thing. But I know, even in terms of, you know, we've talked about addiction and alcoholism and things like that on this podcast, and recovery, support groups, all those things, everything, anything that makes you belong or feel you belong to something bigger than yourself is a hugely important thing. When you talk about the Northern experience, like that's obviously an escalation of that again as well because of the circumstances. But everywhere, and this is the thing, when I think of somewhere like Coola, you see that sense of volunteerism. I did a piece for the Irish Independent a couple of weeks ago on East Belfast GAA. And again, you know, when that was set up, the way that has got drawn people in from all worlds, you know, from like the chairperson of the club now is from Boston. You know, it's not it's the biggest. I think it's got the biggest playing membership of any club in Ulster now.
The president of the club is a close relation of one of the most feared loyalist paramilitaries during the Troubles, who became one of the most remarkable peacemakers of the Troubles. You know, Linda Irvine, and she's now a fluent Irish speaker. And they're about to open. They're about to start the first ever knee school in East Belfast, which is, you know, extraordinary. And as Linda always said, like, completely unthreatening. You know, it's all about sort of community. You know, I was very struck by, I don't know if you read the interview with Professor Simon Shibley. He's one of these outsiders who has been told about the GA and gone, oh, for fuck's sake, really? He's a professor of statistics and research at Sheffield Hallam University. He's the head of the Sports Industry Research Centre there. And he is currently working on with his team and with teams from two other universities. It's a research project called Measuring the Economic Impact and Social Value of Gaelic Games. And the reason he's doing that is because the team are very interested in this extraordinary sense of community and togetherness and how we help each other out when we're in hard times and all the rest of it. And one of the things that he did, he talked about this in the interview, you know, that obviously the research is still at an early stage. But they asked for and were given, as you know, because it's an open book, the accounts from 120 different GAA clubs all around the world. And he said when he opened the first set of accounts, he saw €3,650 funeral expenses in the expenditure column of a club. he said it completely blew my mind. I thought to myself, I need to find out more about this immediately. And he describes it as the beginning of a unique insight into what he was dealing with. He said, you know, this is not a golf, rugby or soccer club, I mean, which I typically deal with. This is something completely different, you know, something that is woven, this is what he said, into the fabric of this society, wherever Irish people are in the world. And he said, and you can't say that about rugby, football or any other sport. And, you know, it's typical of the bewilderment in the modern world that people have when they see the GA model. You know, players not being paid, everyone a volunteer, you know, with the exception of the sort of the professional managerial cartel, which I think is a continued disgrace and a blight on the community. But in the main, you know, sort of 99% of the GA works brilliantly. And when I was chatting to Kieran McKeever, the chairman of the vice chair of the Dungiven Club, he was the chairman for years. And, you know, we have a thriving Meals on Wheels out of the Dungiven Club. So it means that any of our older people or vulnerable people who might be living alone, they have that vital human contact every day. You know, they get a hot meal every day. They get company. You know, they get the news. They get the chat. You know, what's going on? Who's playing well? And if they need anything else, then that's provided. You know, so what Professor Shibley is discovering in his research is that a club paying for the funeral of someone, a member who's down in their luck, facing hard times, there's nothing whatsoever exceptional about. Because the GAA is, as we see embodied in people like Michael Darren McCauley, it's nothing to do with winning. You know, the winning's great fun. That's the spectator sport part of it. You know, but it's a hugely important thing in our society. And a huge thing about knowing each other is that when our kids are like all my kids, every one of them played Gaelic games. They're all Irish speakers, you know, and they all have a very strong sense of community because of all of that. And we know through the GA that our kids do not get into trouble. You know, we don't get into trouble. There's practically no crime whatsoever, you know, because everybody knows everybody, you know, and it means that if there is a problem, well, the problem's dealt with in-house, and we see that problem very quickly. You know, the kids aren't running about doing what they like. You know, there's a strong sense of the entire community raising a child. You know, and even in the hotspots of Dublin, you see that with, you know, a club like Ballymun Kickhams. I mean, the absolutely extraordinary work that it does which has nothing to do with the fact that all of a sudden they've produced one of the greatest club teams that we've seen. You know, they've got five or six players who've won 6, 7, 8 All-Ireland medals with Dublin. You know, it's to do with that effortless that's been built up over 100 years sense of community.
I would say that, you know, again, I think there are lots of people who do community work like that and I accept your point about community and the GAA, but there's like, I think we always, like I find that when it cuts into this idea that there's a sort of a purity about a GAA person that isn't there in other people or anything like that, it's hard to necessarily reconcile with some of the bigger stories you see about people in the, you know, the GAA community produces its share of charlatans and
you get the odd high profile thing, you know, and I know that like everybody was terribly disappointed with, you know, one of our, you know, most legendary sportsmen to find out that there were those sorts of tendencies and the damage that was caused by that. And it is very disappointing and very shocking for us in the GAA. But that's, you know, there are going to be extreme examples. But I mean, all of the research shows that that the GAA has an enormous social benefit. I mean, you look at some of the calculations in Professor Sibley's sort of initial very broad introduction to his report. I mean, it's quite extraordinary. The social capital value of the GAA is 10 and 11 times that of other sports. Mm-hmm. Because other sports tend to be primarily spectator sports. And I'm not, don't be defensive about this, Dion. I know there are great clubs. The Bows do great work. There are many clubs. But I'm talking about something that's worldwide and something that's embedded and something that's simply a part of what we do without it being trumpeted. I'll give you a good example. A friend of mine, a Protestant friend, he rang me and he said, look, my son was due to go to New York. Now, I think about this example a lot, because if you're a young Protestant person from the North and you want to go to America or you want to go to Australia, you know, or anywhere else, well, you're going to join the queue at the rental offices, you know, of a big firm in New York or Sydney or wherever you're going. You better have your papers in order if you're looking for work. You're going to, you know, you're going to be looking for work just like anybody else, and you're on your own. And so this barrister friend of mine who's from the Protestant tradition rang me. He said, look, they tell me you're the man to talk to. My son is in New York and he's been let down. He's arrived there. He was supposed to have work. He's been let down by the agency and he doesn't have the work and he doesn't have anywhere to stay. And I said, okay, look, give him my number and tell him to ring me straight away. And he rang me and I said, look, Patrick, have you got a pen? He said, I do. I said, right, write this down. You play for St. Bridget's in Belfast. Okay. That's not a joke. You play for St. Bridget's in Belfast. You're the right half forward. That's number 10. Okay. It's 15 a side in Gaelic. Okay. 3 points for a goal in the football and the hurling. Dublin are the All-Ireland football, senior football champions, right, and will probably be that for several years. And Limerick are the All-Ireland hurling champions and will probably be that for several years. Okay? Now, just read that back to me. And he read it back to me. I said, don't forget that. Memorize all that, okay? He said, yes, thank you very much, Mr. Brawley. I said, I'll make a call here. First person that I rang in New York, who has hotels and pubs, etc. He said, no problem, Joe. Send him in tomorrow morning. He says, send him in tomorrow morning. And later on in the day, I got a photograph from the young man's father of him sitting proudly in his hotel uniform, having his Irish fry, his Irish breakfast, a mountain of food, eggs and sausage and bacon before he started his day's work and digs organized. And that's the magic of the GAA.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You know, no matter what happens anywhere in the world, you know, my son rings me and he says, look, X, where is that? I say, who do you know there? Hold on, let me call here now.
Hmm.
You know, I often say it's like the Masons without the funny handshake. Or the unusual sexual rituals. Though, you know, maybe that's a part of the Masonic tradition we should embrace.
It's, but again, I accept that it's something that's, there is a global element to it. But I do feel that at the heart of it, and that the most important aspect, I mean, you look at what Professor Shibley has said, you know, it is that sense of the local, you know, that funeral expenses story is a perfect example of it. Like, and you know, we saw that during COVID with GA clubs being, especially during the first wave, being so central to making sure people didn't feel alone and feel, and, you know, that was such a lonely time for many people that the GA was central to that. Now, there was also the stuff, you know, when violations were breached and all that kind of stuff, that there was the flip side of that, and that kind of GA exceptionalism side kicked in there as well. And
why do you dislike the GA so much?
I find this
jealousy.
Where, Joe? I just said why do you hear? Why do you hear only what you want to hear about something like that? Because I was praising the GAA, but I was also, you know, making other a point as well. But what I was going to go on and say,
old people in England, a report came out this week.
This is what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Go on, go and say it. Go, take it, please, take it away. Please. No, go on, have it.
I refuse.
I was going to say that when we look at what the GAA did during the start of COVID and that sense of community, which is important. And you mentioned this report that it said that England's middle aged are the loneliest in Europe, and they more likely to suffer from the effects of isolation than previous generations. And you look at that and you look at what is happening there and that sort of detachment from community, and and there are lots of places, and I've spoken about this, there are lots of places in England with a really strong sense of community. I know where my wife's family are from. There's the really strong community elements there, but there's also that sense of you can feel it's a fractured country too, and you can feel isolated and alone in a way that doesn't happen in other countries. And, you know, it's interesting in this report, it talks about how Nordic Europe still has, you know, far smaller degree of that sense of loneliness than other places. But what it made me think of was, that, and again, this is why it is universal, that the power of a community. I was thinking of the psychiatrist Anthony Storr, a friend of his who's working with a hunter-gatherer tribe in Africa. And he was puzzled when his clients turned up for therapy with their entire extended family with them. They weren't going into therapy on their own. They brought their entire extended family, because to them, the idea of doing anything on your own like that, curing, fixing something like that in isolation, made no sense. You brought everybody with you. You brought that village you talk about with you, you know? And that was the thing that, you look at the studies of these things, people, when they move away, even married couples, when they move away from their community, they can experience a sense of loneliness. And, you know, it is that, you know, human beings, and Storr wrote about this as well, they need a sense of being that is part of a larger community than that constituted just by the family. So that is something that we get from, you get from the GA.
We're here, for example. The other night I went up to the club for a pint, and it was packed because it was Jerry Sweeney's Mum's Mind. And everybody was there, young and old, and even talking about the games and about this and that and the other. And in an atmosphere of complete relaxation and openness, you know. And that's just a normal evening there, you know. I mean, I was going up to get the MOT. It's the same as your NCT in the south. I was going up to get the MOT. Well, it was like last year, maybe the year before, and I was late. And they were taking me, because I was working in Dublin, and they were taking me, you know, at about 7:45 at night. But you have to, in the north, you have to get a car wash. You have to get the underside of your car washed properly, you know. Mm. And I was driving up towards Newry, and I thought, who the hell? I rang DJ Kane, you know, the fearsome down captain from the 94 All-Ireland winning team. I says, DJ, so what can I do for you? I says, look, I need to get an MOT wash urgently. And it was a bitter night. It had been snowing. And he says to me, he said, how long? I'll ring a man there. And he rang me back and he says, right. He says, go over there. He says, there's a place just off the main road. And he gave me the directions to it anyway. And they kept it open for me. And when I arrived, and it was a bitter night, when I arrived, Phil says to me, he says, whenever DJ rang us, we felt sorry for you and your one All-Ireland medal. And they all had a good chuckle at that. They put the car up on the hoist. They washed it. I'm sure the wash would normally cost £25-30. They wouldn't take any money. We feel sorry for Derry, man. We feel sorry for you. It's a great chuckle and a laugh, and off I went. And that tip of advice, I mean, just before we started tonight, I was sitting eating a piece of Christmas cake, which is my sweet vice. And this Christmas cake is made for me. Every year I get a Christmas cake sent to me by a woman from Kilkenny who's hurling mad, and makes it a point at the end of December every year to send me the most beautiful Christmas cake, which it takes me about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, because I only take a wee bit once every 2 or 3 days. And she always puts a wee note in with it. And that's the GAA.
Yeah. It is. No, that's, it's good that, you know, when you talk about Christmas cakes and car washes and all that kind of stuff, I feel, you know, I can't help but feel a little bit of FOMO. But, you know, there's other communities. There's the football community. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to mention, you know, I was talking to Ion O'Riordan today about something, and he was talking about, he's a big fan of the podcast, he was saying, but like he was stressing how, you know, rooted in Irish communities football is as well. And there are historical reasons why they haven't ever had that local club, or that locality based thing that GAA has. But that is something that we will have to come back to, because Joe, I know you want to eat some more Christmas cake, and we're gonna pick that one up again. And thanks for listening, everybody.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. For you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.